This is a HeadGum Original.
Vroom, vroom, beep, beep! Welcome to the pit wall!
Oh, it like faded out. That was kind of fun.
Jeff?
One.
Pretty good. Welcome to the pit wall. This is a Formula One podcast for casual fans. I'm your pit wall principal, Casey Donahue. I'm joined today by Jeff One, Jeffrey James, and as always, Marika Brownlee.
Round the chicanely.
I like that. I like that. Marika looks like
rolls
she
off the tongue.
It's crying. yeah, sure.
Round yeah, the sure. chicanely. You're loving it.
Round the chicanely. I was
round
thinking like
the chicanely.
Round it. The chicanely,
which also works for me.
What about?
Oh, wait, how about this? Brownlee outside.
That's not bad. That's way
Thank
better,
you.
Actually.
Thank you.
I was trying to think of a combination of my name and Nico Rosberg, because it like Marnico.
Keep no, going.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Ross Brownlee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't work, you say?
No, it does not.
Gin?
When you said one, I thought you were rating Casey's intro.
No, Jeff instead won. Of,
I got
but
it
if
eventually.
I was going to offer... I would say a 5 out of 5 today.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
High energy.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I'm
and it's
tired
kind
too,
of getting
man.
Me excited.
Me too.
It's kind of jolting. And it's jolting me awake. And it's driving every car.
Did you have to drive around me? This was the Chinese Grand Prix. I guess, you know,
sprint weekend, lots going on.
There was so much that happened this weekend.
Also nothing that happened.
Yeah.
Another safety car ridden nightmare.
Oh, I was not talking about Formula One. Formula One is like
life.
The least is like the bottom of the ladder of interesting things that happened this week.
Yeah. Well, you won the Audience Choice Award at the Taco Bell Film Festival, even though they played the rough cut of your movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Did they really?
Yeah, they played the rough cut of my movie, and I still won over everybody with it. So,
wow.
Really wow. happy with that. We'll talk about that later. Right now, let me just run through these dang standings. You know, let's just get the results out of the dang way. You
this
know?
Time I separated them between the sprint and the race. So we could do the sprint standings, talk about the sprint, do the race standings, talk about the race.
Right. And just like the sprint race, it's going to be fast because I have not much to say about it.
Yeah.
Jeff?
I didn't watch the sprint. Mm-hmm. I did look at the results.
Well, we can tell you what happened.
I don't, okay, here's the thing. I've never watched a sprint. I don't know when they happen. I don't know what they are.
This weekend, my dad called me. He usually calls me on like a Sunday. He called me on a Friday night and was like, or a Thursday night and was like, when's the race happening? And I sent him the
don't
schedule.
Don't try to connect with me. You were never around when we were growing up. You were off on work
Holy
trips.
Shit.
You were burning rice.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I'm projecting.
Yeah, I figured. No, but I sent him the schedule and I was like, it's at 3 a.m. And he's like, I guess I'll wake up for it. I was like,
wow.
I don't think you should. But apparently he was like kind of awake for the race. But this weekend, the sprint was at like 11 p.m. on Friday. So that was nice.
Yeah.
11 p.m. your time? No,
yes.
That can't be.
No,
was it really? It was that
yeah.
early?
Yeah.
So
it was
so
weird. Oh, no.
I watched a replay of it. And so you're telling me that the sprint race happened at like...
Maybe it was sprint qualifying. Seven?
Yeah, I think
something was at 11 p.m. and I was like, that's crazy. I'll be watching.
I think it was qualifying.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Anyway, here are the results. Getting my sounds ready. First up, last up, I should say, Aston Martin. Lance Stroll got 14th. Fernando Alonso did not finish. Haas, 0 points. Nico Hülkenberg got 19th. Kevin Magnussen got 10th. Alpine, 0 points.
Crazy.
Pierre Gasly got 15th. Esteban Ocon got 13th.
Also, just really quick, I posted it on the Pit Wall Pod story, but Otmar this weekend posted a photo on his Instagram. The caption was just, not China. Him in like the snow.
Oh man, that guy rules.
Yeah, I love him.
That guy's off Mars.
Where was I? I'm looking at a lot of zeros here. Let's Williams. Just hop back in at Williams. Logan Sargeant got 18th. Alex Albon got 17th. Kick Sauber, 0 points. Zhou Guan Yu got 9th. Valtteri Bottas got 12th. Big pops for Zhou in China. Yeah. That was really cool to see. I like that. Was maybe my favorite part of the weekend.
I was rooting for him the whole weekend.
He got into Q3 for the first time for that qualifying, which was really exciting.
Yeah, and you could really the see how important it was to him. And that was cool because he's like a guy who's just like mostly just like kind of there, you know. He's just like, for most of the time, he's just like another guy that's there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Kick Sauber's not been doing that well.
Yeah. Moving on to RB, 0 points. Yuki Tsunoda got 16th. Daniel Ricciardo got 11th.
First time he's outperformed Yuki Tsunoda this year.
Wow.
Big deal.
Well, maybe that means he gets to keep his job for one more week, right? Isn't this how this goes now for him?
Maybe.
he's on a PIP plan, right? Like, the performance improvement plan or whatever that like jobs put you on right before they fire you.
Yeah.
That's what's going on with Daniel Ricciardo. Oh God. McLaren. 5 points. Lando Norris got 6th. Oscar Piastri got 7th. Madib.
Norris Mercedes.
What was that?
I said Norris fumbled it, and he knows it, and he was sad about it.
He fumbled it.
Yeah, he was on pole.
Oh, that's right.
He lost it at the beginning. Hamilton overtook.
That's right.
Yeah, he was. He was a sad little lad.
God, you hate to see Oscar be sad, you know?
Not Oscar, Lando.
Lando.
I love to see both of them sad. Of course.
Yeah.
Oscar made no impression this weekend.
I liked McLaren because of Ricciardo, and then he got fucking shit canned. And
so even in the meantime, RB guy, you're a big Cash App, Visa Cash App RB guy.
No, I'm Ferrari.
Yeah.
I'd seen like a race, and I was like, and I didn't want to root for the same team as Marika, so I was I guess I'll adopt McLaren because I love my boy Danny Rick.
Yeah,
and. It ended up being the right choice for me to trust the chef, to go with Ferrari, to be Tifosi.
I'm the chef?
In this chef instance, Brownlee? The chef is, Brownlee.
Wow.
I love when the chef is brown. I'm not always so hot on when the chef is Brownlee.
Lee. Yeah.
Mercedes, 8 points. George Russell got 8th. Lewis Hamilton got 2nd.
Huge.
Crazy.
Ferrari. Big deal.
Ferrari got 9 points. Carlos Sainz got 5th. Charles Leclerc got 4th. And Red Bull. Hold on. Red Bull. They got 14th points. Max Verstappen got first. And Checo Perez, he got third.
And the thing you have to know, Jeff, is that Verstappen didn't qualify well for the sprint.
And still won hands down.
Yeah. He ultimately finally passed Lewis. And then immediately, by the end of the sprint race, that was 19 laps, was like 10 seconds ahead, which sucked to watch. There was a brief moment where it was like, wow, Lewis could win a race. This could be great. And it really did not happen at all. And also, this sprint race featured a lot of fighting between the Ferrari boys. They touched wheels. There's a really good, people have been memeing the photo of them because it looks like they kissed on the side. And then also, hold on, I have to find this.
Like the cars kissed.
The cars kissed, but
like looks like the cars themselves kissed each other.
But then Carlos rimmed Leclerc.
Yeah.
We should say.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, guess technically, we should say that.
The place that they kissed was on the rims of the tires. So you could also say
that's what
that.
I was talking about.
Yeah. No, but after, so there's a lot of drama. Charles was pissed because Carlos kind of like ran him off the road and
here's the thing.
Didn't get a penalty.
Carlos isn't his teammate anymore.
Yeah, that's
there's
kind of how I feel,
11
too.
Teams racing these days. And the 11th team is Carlos Sainz.
Yep, ultimately. I mostly agree, but after... they're also like... I believe that they made up, essentially. They're such good pals, but there was a quote...
Carlos just is driving for a different team, Carlos Sainz racing team.
Yeah.
But he is still best friends with Charles Leclerc.
Yeah.
Their workplace best friends.
Exactly. And this weekend, Nico Rosberg was in the commentary box.
Yeah.
And doing...
He was being
like,
a little snarky little man.
Yeah, it was really fun. But after the race, or after the sprint, he was like... with Ted Kravitz at the Ferrari garage, and some man I've never seen came out, and Nico was like, did they handshake? Happy days. And this man, Nicholas Tott, said, kiss in the mouth, everything's okay. And Nico said, big kiss. And this other guy said, big kiss. And that
what
was
are you
the
talking
extent
about?
Of the conversation.
I know what she's talking about, and it makes sense.
I'll send the clip. You can listen to it. It's crazy.
Yeah, put the clip in the chat.
It sounds
so
awful.
No, it's so good.
Jeff put something in the chat. Let me click on this.
This was something I saw on Twitter this morning.
One Take with Logan Sargent, powered by Duracell.
One quick message for the fans.
Williams on top in 2024.
Peanut butter, chunky or smooth?
Smooth.
One piece of advice for your younger
so
self.
This is...
keep working and the opportunity will come.
How do you take your coffee?
Like a latte.
This is
like
a Duracell
plain with cream cheese.
Ex post
to visit during the season.
Melbourne.
And it's a...
It says, welcome to One Take with Logan Sargent, powered by Duracell, where we test Logan's reaction time in interviews.
Yes, that's what it says. Sorry, I was distracted by the video itself, trying to understand what the hell these questions are. Then I realized it's a battery interviewing him. good stuff, Jeff.
Yeah,
I just, any more ammunition to sort of wax Sargent is good to me. Because everything he does kind of parodies himself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the clip Marika sent.
Doesn't normally talk to us.
We were just talking about Charles and Carlos. Did they handshake, everything, happy days?
Kiss on the mouth, everything okay.
Big kiss.
Big kiss.
Happy days.
No happy problem. Days. Looking forward to qualifying.
Oh.
Kissing the mouth, everything okay.
But the last thing he said was looking forward to 25, which is when Carlos isn't on the team anymore.
Drama. Yeah.
I only have
really
two notes for the sprint. Well, three. Fans cheering for Zhou making the top 10 of sprint quality. I already talked about that. And I thought that was cool. Max off track on the hot lap for his sprint quali. That was exciting. One of the most exciting things I saw.
There was a lot of, because the sprint qualifying had some rain. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shook up the field. Nico Rosberg was like, we don't know who's going to end up on pole. Anything could happen.
Yeah. It was very exciting, but then Max won, so whatever. Yeah. And then the Ferrari's touch. That's my last note I have for the sprint.
Yeah. they also, both of them ended up making contact with a wall in different qualifying sessions, which was funny.
Yeah. Carlos went off during the Grand Prix qualifying, and they were like, there was a red flag. They were like, oh, and that's it for Carlos. And they fixed the car and he went out and like,
he drove it back and it was fine. They fixed it. It was great. I think also Aston Martin contested that or something. There was like some, I follow a bot that like gets all of that FIA paperwork. And there was a like thing from Aston Martin that about the red flag in the qualifying session. And I was like, what are you guys doing?
Jeff?
I didn't watch the sprint. It sounds awesome, though.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
I watched the race.
Oh, you watched the race? Let's talk about the race results, huh?
Let's do
Let me pull those up. Let me get my little beeps. Got my beeps. Got the results. Here we go. First up, we have RB. 0 points. Daniel Ricciardo did not finish. Yuki Tsunoda did not finish. Kick Sauber. 0 points. Zhou Guanyu got 14th. Valtteri Bottas did not finish. I almost said Valtteri Bottas finish.
Ooh. Burn.
But that would have, I wouldn't have meant any harm by saying that. It was just a slip of the tongue, Valtteri. Please act in my movie. Williams, 0 points. Logan Sargeant got 17th. Alex Albon got 12th. And I believe 17th is the furthest back you could go if you finish the race, right?
Correct.
Based on everyone who didn't. Okay.
So not much of a win for Sargeant just because he didn't get 20th.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's doing reverse races. That's the thing that people don't know about him.
Yeah.
Is Logan is so used to American driving rules that he thinks that F1 is like, oh, no, you know, they're in Europe. They're driving on the wrong side of the road. They're going the wrong way. He thinks he's finishing in first place when he's in 20th. That's what I think is going on with this guy.
Well, he does reverse races, and he does reverse racism. So basically, like, he thinks he can be off to most of the grid.
He'll like, what do you mean by off?
Yeah.
I'd love
racist
an example.
Racist against white people. It's the American way.
Sure, sure. Like using slurs on I'm trying to think of a white guy in the grid who isn't Logan Sargeant.
Take your pick.
All right, let's go with Charles.
He calls Charles a cracker. And to him, that's him being really bad.
To Logan, he's being really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Marika?
I have nothing to say.
For the best. What team did I stop at?
We were talking about Williams.
Williams. Alpine. 0 points.
Jeff is lying down.
It's obviously 10 a.m. on a Monday.
Jeff is... you're going to let us know if there's like a vacuum going on.
There's no vacuum. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah. We can't hear it on the Zoom. So I need to know if like someone is like doing construction in the room that you are in.
I had a cleaner out last week. There's no one here.
Okay, great. Great, great, great. Alpine, 0 points. Gasly got 13th. Esteban Ocon got 11th. Into the points we go. Haas, 1 point for Nico Hülkenberg. He got 10th place. Kevin Magnussen got 16th. Aston Martin, 7 points. Lance Stroll got 15th. And he kind of was a little bitch of the day.
A real icon.
Fernando Alonso got 7th. Plus fastest lap. Mercedes.
He's still kicking.
He is still kicking. I like to see Fernando in the mix. The elder statesman, so to speak.
Yeah, I just this weekend was a lot of wishing Fernando Alonso would defend against people and then not him not defending against the people I wanted him to and then defending against other people, which is really par for the course with him these days. I'm still betrayed by Canada 2022 when he said he would attack Max in the first corner and he didn't. So
yeah,
I don't trust him anymore.
I think his whole thing is like, don't trust me, I'm the bad guy, isn't it?
I guess, although during the race he did do a lot of defending against Checo. He basically like ruined his tires at the beginning of this race, and that's why Lando was able to get that second place finish.
That's why everyone was talking about how surprising it was that he got second place. But hold on, let me finish this. I have to finish this.
We has to finish.
We has to finish this. But put a pin in it. Mercedes 10 points. George Russell got 6th. Lewis Hamilton got 9th. Lewis Hamilton also started in 18th. And he was not happy with moving up 9 spots after the race. I saw an interviewer be like, hey, pretty good. You went up 9 spots. He's like, but I shouldn't have started back there.
And he's right to
Lewis
say that
is
for
so
sure.
Ready to get out of that car. Yeah. And
it
into,
seems like,
sorry, Marika, into a Ferrari who got 22 points. Carlos Sainz came in 5th. Charles Leclerc came in 4th. McLaren, 22 points. Lando Norris got 2nd. Oscar Piastri got 8th. And Red Bull got 40 points. Max Verstappen got 1st. Checo Perez got 3rd. All right.
What I was going to say about Hamilton is that this weekend there appeared to be some drama between him and Toto, where someone pointed out that Toto called him Hamilton in an interview, which never happens. He always calls him Lewis. And I think it was also, just like, I mean, Hamilton was explaining that they took 2 different directions with the cars. And obviously his was not the right choice. I think they were explaining this during commentary from like qualifying or something. And Nico Rosberg was like, yeah, but they talked to George Russell and George was like, we didn't change that. They're not that different.
Yeah. Nico really giving it to Lewis on commentary with his responses about all that.
Yeah. And then also my first note from this race was like the second lap. Nico was like, wow, Hamilton's resignation's coming really early this race, because he like came over the radio and was like, these tires weren't the right choice. And Nico was like, immediately,
yeah, that was
he's
like lap 3.
Yeah, so early. And yeah, I mean, ultimately he was right, they were like, the softs were not working for people, but it was really, I like when Nico is like a real Hamilton fanboy, but then immediately can turn around and be really snarky about him.
Yeah. Were they rivals at all?
They were teammates, but yeah, they were like best friends turned rivals. And that definitely ruined their friendship.
Yes. I liked Nico on commentary because he was being being real catty about it, you know. Nothing just, against Martin Brundle.
Of course.
He's a little too Switzerland and you want someone with opinions shining through.
I think Brundle is too Switzerland.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I think I think make it three guys talking about the race. That's what I say. And Nico's job could be like being real snarky about all the drivers because he knows them all.
Yeah, it was like that. Plus, he was really good about answering questions about car setups specifically, and like. When someone made a mistake, he'd be like, yeah, that was a driver error that had nothing to do with their car. They're not, they're lying, like, sort of thing, which was really fun.
Marika, do you have notes on this race? I figure when we just fire off our thoughts from our notes, you know?
Jeff, I do have notes.
I'd ask you, but I'm almost certain you didn't take any single note.
I take notes every race I watch.
Yeah,
here
he
we
does.
Go. When you drive, never drink. Awful copy, right? It's clearly like it was translated from a different language using a bad translator.
When you drive, never drink.
It should be don't ever drink when you drive.
But that's the American in us, you know?
When you drive, never drink.
And I think
drink.
That's part of what confuses Logan into thinking that he's winning the race. He thinks he's at the front by being in the back because he's looking at that when you drive.
Never drink
sign.
He would have to be driving super slow to be able to read that.
Yeah.
Never drive, never drink is what it should be.
Never drive, never drink. I like that.
Sounds That's better. Good. Worse message. My notes, I mean, I think the overtake Lando's overtake on Alonso was really nice. I think that I can't remember if it was in the race or the sprint that this kept happening a lot, but I think he like started the trend of overtaking around the outside on at like a specific corner that a lot of people ended up doing. Track was weird. I don't really understand why it was specific to this track.
A lot of loopy turns.
I kind of
like that though.
I thought it looked cool, but the guys on commentary are like, "This is terrible to drive." I was like, "It looks fun."
What I was gonna say is that basically this track, like, people could take different lines a lot easier, and I'm not 100% sure why. Like, a lot of people were using getting out of the racing line as an advantage. Which usually isn't possible because usually like that is very like pebbly or like will mess up their tires. But
sure. But I think that is exciting if you can take multiple lines. And these guys are all like, I just want put me on my favorite tires. Let me drive my favorite line. My fight isn't with him. I am fighting the Haas's only for 14th. That's what I'm doing. There's a lot of that going on. Look, here's the thing. Here's my first note. I won an award.
Nice.
My first note is I won an award for filmmaking.
Oh my god.
very, very happy, very proud of that. And this was going on the same night as this race.
The race. And
right.
So I'm like, you know, walking around with my award saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, talking to people. I'm like not at all paying attention to this race by the time I'm like tuning into it. So that's my first note. My first thought, I won an award. That's cool. And it was way more interesting than watching a bunch of guys be like, my fight's not with him. My fight's not with him. There's too much of that going on in Formula One. Because here's the other thing. This weekend was also the Long Beach Grand Prix, the IndyCar race, as well as the IMSA race. And those were way better than watching the F1 stuff this weekend, I must say. Way better racing. Because they're not, those guys aren't out there like, my race isn't with the Ferraris.
You don't
Everyone's
like
Everyone's racing the Ferraris in IMSA. Right, Jeff?
I don't know what IMSA is.
Sure. Marika?
I don't care.
All right.
I don't watch Long Beach Grand Prix. I don't watch IMSA. And I thought this race was good to watch. Thought it was interesting. Track we haven't seen in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the best part.
I thought it was a track. Yeah.
Just a new track that I'd never seen because that was before I started watching F1.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that was
cool. The track
kept
catching on fire.
That was fun. During the free practice, the one free practice for this,
it caught on fire a second time, didn't it?
Yeah, but the first time, the biggest patch was during free practice one, where people's whatever they called the floorboard of the car was rubbing and creating sparks at a specific corner, and the sparks were flying onto the grass, and then the grass was erupting into flames. And I tuned into free practice like midway through, and it was just like a giant black patch of grass that had burnt. So that was cool. I wonder why the grass caught on fire so easily. I saw something about it being that track being like in a swamp area, but I don't know what's going on in swamps.
I mean, yeah, I don't. Swamps don't usually catch on fire.
Please, resident swamp correspondent. Floridian
swamp correspondent.
Yeah, I did grow up in the Everglades after all.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was late for school because a gator was blocking our driveway and we couldn't get out.
I believe that.
I don't for some weird reason.
Okay, why don't you spend a year in Florida, Jeff, and then maybe you'll believe me.
I had that happen
I'll
to me, but with
you,
a
so
snapping turtle.
Okay, great. A snapping turtle was blocking your driveway?
Yeah, or not my driveway, but like that road to get to the main road that was next to a pond. And then we had to like collect it by like throwing a rug at it that it would snap on so we could like drag it over.
It's the same process with gators.
Yeah.
Throw out a rug, they chomp, you drag. But swamps are notoriously wet.
That's true.
And that grass seemed pretty dry.
Well, but it was all, it like had just been raining. I don't know. It was a weird, weird weather thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe swamps emit some sort of flammable gas or something. Mm.
This is what we're talking about?
Yeah, it is.
Flammable gas seeping from swamps.
The track grass caught on fire. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's true. I thought some of it looked like turf, though.
Oh. I do feel like I heard someone on the commentary say turf at one point.
And they said a lot of turf or something
like
that.
Yeah. And I was like,
But I don't know. That to me, you know, that could be like a British
a word
thing,
for grass.
You know? Yeah.
For sure. Yeah,
you know
they call gardens allotments.
They call fries chips.
Yeah, they do.
They call elevators lifts. They call apartments flats. They call grass turf. Come on.
All right.
Grow up.
Okay.
Grow up, England.
My next note is car so slow, Hamilton. Why Max so fast?
Mm.
And then Oh, then this race had the weirdest safety car I've ever seen. That was in three parts, like double waved yellows, virtual safety car, then regular safety car. And every driver was confused. They were like, what's going on? And it was so dumb. It was pointless.
And was it in this?
It was in the race.
It was in the race, but I'm looking at my notes. I have safety car, and then I have Lance Stroll called Daniel an idiot, not his fault, and then two safety cars. So when Lance hit Daniel, was that under the safety car, or was that coming out of the safety car?
That was that? From the start of the race, I thought.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, but no, I had that Jeff. Quote. This idiot just slammed on the brakes.
Yeah. That was in the second safety car, I believe.
I feel like every time Ricardo's involved in a crash, the other drivers are like, he's a fucking idiot. Do we believe him? Or?
Well, after the race, Marika mentioned it a bit of Daniel talking about it. He talks about where he looks at Lance's video feed of what happened, and he's like, he wasn't even looking at me. He was like looking around the turn, didn't see that everyone was slowing down in front. And then Oscar Piastri also said, like, you know, he's the only person that hit somebody, even though we all knew to slow down.
Basically what happened was Alonso
Lance is bad at driving a car.
Alonso, flat spotted for a second. He lost control, and because of that, the classic thing everyone knows and everyone talks about, a concertina effect, mm-hmm, happened, mm-hmm, where every driver behind him had to slam on the brakes.
And the concertina effect, Jeff, if you don't know, is when Keanu Reeves is
not, it's not Constantina, to be clear.
No, but he's like a hitman for God. Is that how it works? Is that how
Constantine
works? Yeah. Is that how the Constantine effect works? Where like Keanu Reeves becomes a hitman for God and he's fighting the devil. Is that right?
Completely different from the concertina effect.
But what happened during the race was the Constantine effect. Am I wrong?
For sure, definitely. Unless Alonso's a hitman for God. But I kind of doubt that.
And finally, we have our episode title.
So basically, Lance Stroll was like looking to his left or something. He was just like looking out the window, not paying
attention.
Looking
out the window of his car, taking in the sights.
And just runs in the back of Ricardo. I sent you, Casey, I think I sent you that.
And
it ruins
the race for, like, four people?
Ruins it for Ricardo. I don't think it ruins it for four people.
Well, it fucked up Oscar's car.
How? Like
Daniel went into...
Daniel went into someone else.
Yeah, and then someone else went into someone else. Like there was damage, not as bad as Daniel's. But after the race, Oscar was like looking at the rear of his car, and he was like, "I don't think the engineers designed it that way." Lance like ruined like a couple of guys' races.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obviously defensive of Danny. So when he was like, this idiot just slammed on the brakes, I got like really mad. It like ruined my night.
The damage is significant. He was hit by Ricardo after. Yeah.
Well, I didn't mind that. Stroll. I actually really didn't mind that because it was another Piastri disaster. No Oscar, no cry.
That's what you went
Oscar,
with?
No Oscar, no cry. Significant damage, and I smiled to see.
Yeah. Casey, I sent you that.
Yeah, some clip. I'm going to pull it up.
He's saying my mistake. Okay, I had started to calm down, but now that makes me, that pisses me off because
He's never been more mad.
I watched, he's on board. He's not even looking at me. He's we start to brake and his head starts looking at the corner.
I've never seen his eyes more wide.
And then he starts to accelerate or come off the brake and then he's right underneath me, so.
Wow, he looks angry.
That pisses me
off. He's so mad.
And now he's going over looking at a guy's phone.
Oh yeah, for the radio
Daniel's
message.
Like, okay, okay. Now he's then he started like kind of doing like pumping his chest out a bit, kind of like when you see like a guy at a bar who's like ready to fight somebody, and then his friends have to be like, "It's not worth it, man."
Yeah,
it's not worth it, man. And then I'm like, I want to go home.
And you're not friends with any of those people.
I don't know
watching.
Any of them. I'm like, God, this sucks. I want to go home.
Why can't you go home?
Because my friend's ordering another drink.
All right. Fair enough.
And I got to close out my tab, but sure. The line's kind of long and I don't want to deal with it right now.
Gotcha.
So I'm just kind of like chilling on the patio. And now this guy wants to fight. You know?
I've never experienced that, but I trust you.
Have you like never like
witnessed a bar fight?
No, not witness a bar fight, but witness a guy at a bar who wants to fight, and then everyone is like, "We don't want this."
I can't say I have.
That I've seen a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've never seen a bar fight.
Yeah, I don't really frequent the places where the fights happen, but there are usually.
Right, you're not at the Roadhouse.
I'm not at the Roadhouse. I'm not at the Roadhouse 2024 version either. You know, yeah. It's. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with the options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Keep kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. And you know what? Going grocery shopping in the city is really hard. Mm-hmm. You got to carry your bags all the time on the train for a mile to get to your home from the grocery store because the grocery store is too far.
I remember my city living life.
It's rough. It's rough on these streets. And having a full meal ready is great. I had a Tuscan white bean, mushroom, and kale stew recently.
Wow.
Love a kale and white bean stew. Mm. So that was a big deal for me. and it makes your life a lot easier.
Head to factormeals.com/vroom50. That's vroom with a V. And use code VROOM50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code VROOM50 at factormeals.com/VROOM50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Thanks, Factor.
Thank you, Factor.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My next note. Lewis started 18th, got up to 9th. And he's not happy about it.
He wasn't. I remember something interesting that happened. Yuki was involved in a crash also. And the way it felt like it looked like a Mario Kart crash, like someone hit him and he spun in a little circle, just like hit him from the side, spun out, and was out of the race. And I thought it was really funny.
I don't think I saw this at all.
You rarely see things like that.
This must have been pretty quick. Like, there wasn't a safety car or anything. Did he just, like, spin in a circle and go right into the pit lane?
Let me see. Okay. Sonoda was hit by Magnussen and then retired. This was, like, at lap 46. I think. Unless it
Jeff,
was
do you remember?
I don't exactly remember what happened at around lap 46.
Oh, wait, okay.
Do you remember Yuki getting hit?
I don't.
It happened earlier. It happened after the safety car. So, like, Stroll hit Ricardo before the restart even happened, and then...
This was
after
one of
the
moments
restart,
where they're like,
Magnussen,
oh, wait, like, we need to change the camera angles because we didn't catch this.
I watched him spin out, so that I saw it.
This was like a Berenstain Bears situation, I think.
I'm reading a recap of the race, and Magnussen tried to dive down the inside of Sonoda, tipping him into a spin, and Sonoda had to retire, stopping on the grass. And then Magnussen had a puncture and a slow stop. This was at lap 26. Lap 27. And then
the Haas guys are kind of the bad boys of the track these days, I think. You know, they're
just
the enforcers.
Don't give a shit.
They don't they don't fucking care.
Yeah, I
kind of
like that.
They don't care about their car, they don't care about other people's cars.
That's that post Gunther vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Who is the new team principal?
He's
for Haas.
A former
it was like the engineer, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Boring.
His name.
So boring.
Yeah, really boring. They should have got Coach Pombey.
Is Ayo Komatsu. From Mighty Ducks?
They should have got Coach Pombey to be the new team principal for Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
Are we not allowed to joke around anymore?
I've never seen Mighty Ducks. I don't
know
who
that is.
You've
never seen Mighty Ducks, but you've seen Newsies, I bet.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And?
I really want to see
Emilio Estevez that coach?
Yes,
I know
he's
in that. Okay, I approve. I like Emilio Estevez. I've just never watched Mighty Ducks.
I really
want to
Joe in the points this weekend.
Yeah, it would have been. I think it would have been
really
nice. Great.
He cried still at the end of the race, which was very
he was. This
cute.
Was like it seemed like he cared more than I'd ever seen him care before about driving a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you
he
know,
had his own little he had his own little podium spot, or not podium spot, but like. They well, actually, at the end of this race, Lando drove into the pit lane instead of where he was supposed to go, which was out on the track because that's where the like 1, 2, 3 parking spots were. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, "Oh, is Lando going to get in trouble?" But then I guess he didn't. But Joe also had his own little parking spot on the track that he got to
Joe
pull into.
Joe doesn't owe you his tears.
Joe
his
doesn't
smile.
Owe you dough.
Or Guajo. Isn't
Guajo.
That where he's from?
I don't know. He's from Shanghai.
So not Guajo.
Yeah, no.
It's just the only other city in China
that
I know.
He was the hometown boy done good this day. He
That's
finished
true.
The race on his home turf.
He
got out the car.
There.
He fell to the ground. He cried. It was beautiful.
He enjoyed a time.
He did enjoy the time. Also, another note I have is that at one point towards the end of the race, there was a shot in the McLaren garage and you could just see Lando Norris's dad kind of gesturing to an empty water bottle. Like, where should I throw this out?
That's really funny. Is here fine or? Oh, right. The race. Right.
There's so many penalties this race. I kind of stopped paying attention from like lap 30 something to 49. And the crazy lockup from Alonso brought me back.
Oh, you stopped paying attention?
Yeah.
That's around when I stopped paying attention, too. I switched over to the race in 30.
And then you guys got mad when I wasn't paying attention because I won a big award.
We didn't get mad.
We didn't get mad. We just said we enjoyed this race. Or I said I enjoyed the race. And you said there's better racing.
You weren't paying attention to 20 laps of it.
No.
17.
Not really. Yeah.
17 laps of it. And by the way, in the last 17, there wasn't much action to have.
Yeah, we haven't talked about my big weekend at all, where I drove a Red Bull sim and
that's
crashed.
Right. Should we go to the last part of the...
Yeah, the last part? Yeah, the plugs?
No, let's hear about the Red Bull sim.
I don't have that much to say.
Kind of a
pop-up. Yeah, it was...
Yeah, what was the deal? What was it? Where was it?
Well...
Why was it there?
I saw an Instagram ad that was like, go to M Social and drive a Red Bull sim. And being the frequenter of Broadway theaters that I am, I'm very familiar with the M Social hotel lobby. I go there a lot just to sit, to charge a phone, or I used to really do that more. But so I was like, I know where this is. This will be easy. Had to go over there anyway, was seeing a show. So I was like, hey, after the show, I'll go drive a car. And I went into the lobby, two sims sitting there, empty, nobody around.
That's
and I said,
crazy.
Well,
there wasn't a long line.
Wasn't a line at all. Sat right down. And then eventually some like French kid showed up with his dad.
Yeah.
His dad was like taking videos of him like behind the seat getting good action shots. And I was just kind of driving around Monaco, crashing into everything I could possibly crash into.
Why'd you choose Monaco?
Yeah,
you're the one who told me not to buy the F1 video game because it's too hard.
Monaco is the hardest track.
I know.
I can't even finish that track.
I said, hey, I'll try it out. I picked it because it was like it's the track that I know the best, I think, just like mentally.
Sure, that big old hairpin.
Yeah. And the first one I drove was Vegas, actually. So
that's cool.
Egg on your
Vegas
face.
Is fun to drive.
Yeah, it was interesting. I tried driving it in a Red Bull. And I was doing like the time trials. Didn't do very well, but
was this the F1 video game or was it like
it was the F1 video game 2023.
Cool.
And then I did Monaco, switched over to Monaco, T-boned George Russell at some point.
Sick.
And then I had to retire. No. But I played it off as if it were on purpose.
You played
it. Is this a retirement or is this like a token situation?
No, it was just free. It was just sitting there and I hopped on.
No one else was vying for it?
Nobody else. Nobody showed up behind me. At one point, my friend showed up because she was working at a Broadway opening and... I was like, hey, you want to play? And she was like, no, not really. But then I convinced her.
I'm actually
then I convinced
more than good.
And she was definitely better at, well, actually, she drove.
Does she have a driver's license?
She does have a driver's license, and she drove in.
It helps a lot,
on
Marika.
The Australian track, which was also labeled very easy. I have a question for you, Casey, about these sims, since you have a wheel.
Yes.
I didn't think that drivers had to do so much like full rotation stuff.
Yeah.
But I found myself and my friend found herself doing a lot of that. Is that normal?
It is. Next time you watch a race on those turns, watch their hands. They do it a lot.
I did. Yeah. For
but
the
also,
actual.
It's easier to the slower you are, the more you have to turn the wheel. So they want to take the turns as fast as possible so they don't have to cross their arms as much. But things like the hairpin at Monaco is like the slowest turn you can take in F1 because that it's so tight and the cars are so big.
And my friend was like, why are you going so slow for that exact turn? And I was like, it's a slow corner. So I know what I'm talking about.
I cannot believe I'm here.
I could be doing anything else. I could be talking to Eddie Redmayne right now, and instead I'm here. it was fun. I think it was only there for a few days.
Were they keeping scores at all, or was it just like, hey, this is just in the lobby, you could do it if you want?
It's just in the lobby, and I'll tell you, the thing that I find bad about the F1 game, Jeff, since you brought it up, is that I don't understand how the menus or the settings work at all, and then to have to do that with just the wheel buttons instead of a console controller was crazy. It took me five minutes to figure out which button corresponded to which thing.
They didn't have like little tabs. On my wheel, I have like you could put the X and the circle and the square to so you know like this is what this button
does. They sure didn't. So I was just like, all right, what's this one do? Okay, went to the wrong place. Sure, what's this one do? So that took a while. And then I had to figure out how to change all the settings so that was the shortest race and the easiest race possible.
My question was going to be, could you, what kind of settings were, like, is it all automatic or could I turn
it was
it
fully
to,
like some of the
shifter
left
paddles?
There were, and I don't know what they do, because this game doesn't tell you anything how to play it at all. You're just kind of like left to your own devices.
Well, you know, this is the problem with your generation, Marika. I mean, you expect to be born with every fucking tool handed to you.
Yes.
Casey's generation actually had
What's
to
Casey's
pull them
generation?
Millennial.
As
millennial.
Am I.
Older millennial.
I'm also a millennial.
I'm Gen Z.
You're not Gen Z.
He's a millennial, but with an X.
Yeah.
I just want like a tutorial. I want to be able to play a tutorial lap where it's like, and here's how you press this button.
I am surprised they don't have a tutorial lap. I'll give you that.
It's crazy.
I will give you that.
I figured it out. I don't know what those little shifty things did. I don't know what the little knob on the thrust
master
did.
You know what they do. They shift gears.
I wasn't doing that.
I think they
grind. What do you mean they shift
gears?
I'm supposed to shift gears? In this car?
You watch car racing.
Sure.
You do not know that they shift up, they shift down.
No.
Move out of work mentality for once, bro.
I don't know what gears do. I know what gears do on my bike,
headspace.
My three-gear bike. But all that's
right.
All I got.
How many gears are in an F1 car?
I don't know.
Eight.
All right. All right. That's kind of a lot, yeah.
I don't know what they do.
They're really fast cars.
I know when I go up, or when it's a one gear on my bike, then I have to pedal really fast. But if it's three, then I have to pedal slower and it goes faster. And I don't know how that corresponds to cars because I'm not pedaling.
And you're never driving.
Right.
What it does is it like, I'm going to get it wrong. If there's a listener out there who could get it right, please send us a quick cue about it. But it like changes the gear of the engine to be able to like up the RPMs basically. And if you are in too high of a gear going too slow, it'll take way longer to get to the speed that the car could be like firing off its cylinders at that speed. So if you're starting in eighth gear, you will not get up to the top speed as fast as like in seconds the way that these cars do. That's the whole thing about the gears. When you go into a turn, you want to shift down so you have more control. The engine is trying to push forward less so you can turn the car more. And then when you straighten out, you got to shift the gear up. And There's like an indicator that like this when next time you watch a race, watch this stuff. It's
I know that they're going like boop boop boop. I don't know what those are though.
But there's on the onboard cam, you'll see on their wheel like this light going up.
And
goes all the way up, that means to shift to the next highest gear. And that's what they're doing the whole race.
Huge news for me. All I know with this game is that there was a little line, and when it was turned orange, I should start braking.
Yeah.
And then when it was green, I should go. Yeah. And that's really all I could control. I don't know what the little twisty knob did. I don't know what any other buttons did. I hope I didn't have to push any buttons, because I certainly was not. I was simply focusing on the drive, which mm-hmm. I'm not good at, as you can tell, because I T-boned George Russell after the casino of Monaco.
Yeah, but I feel like that could have been an intentional.
At the chicane.
Yeah, I was going to.
While There She Goes was playing in the hotel lobby.
I love that song.
Yeah, hadn't heard it in a while. It still slaps.
Yeah.
The only other note for the race that I have was that I really liked Lando's. Well, this is like post race. Wow. I liked Lando's little what?
That's my next note is about Lando and his post race.
Was it about his little radio message where he was like, "Ooh, ooh, ooh"?
No, so no, it was funny. A post race interview, but I did like that. But in the post race interview, I saw he was like surprised, flabbergasted that he got second place. He's like, yeah. I should not have gotten second place.
They really I'll thought take it. The
I
said
my computer
were...
screen agreed.
he said after the race, he had his bags packed and he was ready to get out of there early before the race even started. He's like, everything's packed. I'm gonna fly home early. But he's like, but then I got second place, so now I can't do that.
He's gotta celebrate. Aw. Little guy.
He's gotta go out to the clubs of Shanghai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also during the cool down room, our favorite place, also known as the Max Verstappen podcast, to some
yeah, speak for yes. me.
So to some Max watching the Ricardo and Stroll crash was so funny. He like fully without thinking reacts and it's just like it's really good. It was like the most like jovial reaction I've ever seen from him.
It's so funny to think about how for the most part when he's driving, give or take a few laps here or there where he's fighting, he's mostly on an island. He is.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, 20 seconds behind him, and the only people ahead of him are people he's lapping.
And
so
maybe
he's like
he
looking
sees
at highlights
on...
of people crashing and shit. Yeah. He's like, whoa, I can't imagine
that
it's like driving in these conditions.
Yeah. And maybe watching things on screens, as we've established people do.
Yeah, he's driving around watching highlights on the big boards because he's bored.
He's bored. But it was a lovely race, simply lovely. I don't think he said that this time, actually. I was really surprised.
A real pleasant drive.
Mm. Classic.
Let's see. My next note. Cool trophy.
It was a cool trophy.
You see the
like
trophies,
a laurel
Jeff?
Wreath.
I didn't watch the podium.
It looked like an Iron Man wreath.
Yeah. It's red, it lights up.
Yeah. It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
I saw Lando put it around his neck and I was like, he's gonna break this thing.
Same. He did a really good champagne pop this time.
Yeah. He got away from the trophies, did it on the ground, mm-hmm. and he did it.
He's learned.
Slammed it down hard, and it went flying. It was
he Landoed down hard.
Nice.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. Don't worry about it. And then the last thing I had, Daniel very politely blamed Lance, which I guess now seeing that clip that we played,
old news.
Man, I wish Daniel would have went and confronted.
I know that Lance. Was truly the maddest I've ever seen him, and that's the kind of energy I want from him. Clip,
I know I just played the audio for you, Jeff, but yeah. He's like when they showed visibly him like pissed. The message,
yeah.
Like he like starts like. You know, he's like the guy at the bar who's like, I have to fight somebody.
Yeah. Damn.
I have to fight that little fucking troll.
Oh, my God. What a guy.
Let's rate this race, huh?
Let's do it.
Here in the pit wall, when we watch something, we rate it. If we like it, we give it a push. If we don't like it, we give it a box. I'll let you guys go first.
Box. Too any many reason? Safety cars. I don't like the results. Mm-hmm. The people that the cameras and commentators were focused on for most of the race, I couldn't give two shits about.
Yeah.
And I got bored. And I don't always get bored. What was the one we were just... Was it Japan?
Yeah. You weren't on that episode.
I wasn't on the episode. I did watch the race. Right. I was less bored during that.
Man, you should have been on the episode. Sounds like... would have been great to have you on.
So.
I'm a push. Because the entire weekend of racing had highs and lows. Interesting things happened. Weather was changing. And that's ultimately what I want to see from an F1 weekend. Exciting to see Lewis get some award, even if it wasn't first in a race. Upsetting to see Lando extend his stint of most podiums without a win, or bittersweet, I should say. I thought this was a cool track. I liked the fact that people could go on different sides of the track easily because of the pavement or something. I don't know. They kept talking about them covering that track, and I don't know what they covered it with. They put something on there. Also, I read about this, but at one point, I think I agree. Well, I usually like when there's safety cars in a race, but this one, I was just so confused about why the safety cars were so long, or the duration of them was so long. And I think all the drivers were too. And I remember there was one point where Max was on the radio being like, there's pebbles aren't debris. Like they're saying there's debris on the track. This isn't debris.
Well, I thought he said marbles.
Oh yeah, no, it was marbles.
Okay,
which that would be bad for those cars.
No, but that's
a term for like the little tiny.
That's the gravel. There was that the final turn of the track was a big issue for a lot of drivers. It was where Carlos went off, Max went off, like everyone went off, and it was putting pebbles on the track. Like there was like little rocks on the track, but marbles are a different thing in racing, which is like when the tires start to degrade and it like spits off leaves, the little rubber balls. But then that'll also screw up your grip. They usually fly out of the racing line, but
this time they were in it.
This time they were in it.
And yeah, I enjoyed the weekend. And also, hey, if you're going to talk about the Long Beach GP, I'm just going to shout out the fact that Nick DeVries won the 6 hours of Imola in his little hypercar. So let's all just think about that.
I think it's fine.
This past weekend, there was another race.
Yeah, big the race WEC, weekend. 6 hours of Imola.
6 hours of Imola. I didn't know about this one. There was the IMSA race in Long Beach, IndyCar in Long Beach, and Talladega in NASCAR. Big race weekend.
A lot going on.
Sprint shootout, Chinese Grand Prix. I'm going to give this race a push. I was in a great mood watching it, even though I was like not really paying attention because I won an award for a movie I worked really hard on. And I think that's okay to be happy about that, guys, even though you're mad.
So we're not happy. We're not mad.
I know you're not happy.
Freudian slip. Both a little pissed you won the award.
Yeah, we wanted the award for ourselves. We entered the competition.
No, congratulations. I saw that on Instagram
and
smiled.
It is huge. Would love to see the film.
Thanks. I'll post
perhaps the final cut.
I'll post the final cut later this week. And then everyone could go watch it. But hey, we got some more business to do. Hottie of the week.
This is a hard one.
I feel like everyone gave me the ick this race. I'll go with Alonso for that one overtake that he had. I don't know what lap it was, but it was the one where he like overtook Checo. By really going for it, dove on the inside and gave Sergio no choice but to Perez, which, by the way, is now a verb for being a coward.
I'm going to go with the perennial hottie Carlos Sainz. He's racing Charles. Yeah, but like I said, He's a man racing for himself, and I love to see that. In a world where people are being like, not our fight, not my race. He's like, I'm going to beat Charles if I can.
Yeah.
If I can finish in front of this guy, I'm gonna.
And it was the first time that he didn't. First time this year that he was not on the podium.
Yeah, and I'm sure Charles wanted that. I'm sure.
Yeah. And ultimately, and
I think the rest of this year is going to be real great to watch the Ferrari guys because of this.
I agree. And to that note, my hottie of the week is Charles, because there was a social media video taken of him or the two Ferrari boys and the two McLaren boys standing around with each other, and everyone was making fun of Charles's pants for being too big. They were just a little baggy, and I appreciate that he tried something new with his fashion choices.
Yeah.
He's got a really cute dog now.
What kind of dog?
It's a little golden wiener.
Wow.
It's very cute.
Jeff?
I already said.
Marika said little golden wiener, and I thought I was trying to just like set you up for you to do your thing.
Low-hanging fruit with your hottie of the week. Low-hanging fruit with the jokes you're teeing up.
You don't even want to make a joke. You don't even. You don't even.
I knew it would be
low hanging. You don't even want to make the joke.
The joke is there already, or it isn't. Little golden wiener.
That's never been your philosophy. The joke is there already. The opposite of your comedy. Your comedy is force the joke however possible.
Subtlety, I would say, is sort of my specialty.
I've got one more follow up on this this video you saw in Charles's pants. Were they baggy pants the way when Lewis wears baggy pants?
No, not like Janko baggy, but they're considerably bigger than everyone else's, if you can see.
Oh, those are Costco dad jeans.
I agree. They're good and fine, but it's a good little clip. I posted it on the Instagram story. Then Lando like shakes Carlos's hand, and for a really long time, because they're also their boyfriends. And then Charles like grabs them and tries to shake with them. It's a really good and then Oscar's just standing there. It's a really good representation of all of their relationships, I think.
That's great. Great hottie pick, Marika.
Thank you.
Little bitch of the day.
Lance Stroll. Let's give it up for the king of little bitches.
There you go. This idiot just slammed on his brakes. No, you didn't hit your brakes.
Ultimately, yeah.
Congrats, Lance. The king's going to sit on his throne, you know?
I do know. Yeah.
Marika, hit us with those fantasy standings.
Guys, I moved up. Big day for me. Pyle's still in first. He's got quite a lead, that almost sucks. 200 points.
I feel like that's the only thing, you know, so I say
it's the only thing
me.
He's got going for him right now.
At least, yeah, not he doesn't have three kids.
Yeah. Then me, then Jeff, then Casey. Right.
I think I'm making up ground.
Yeah, I think a little bit.
Once I got the Alpines off my team, then I started scoring points.
I got to get Gasly off my shit.
That's the thing. You got to remember to take the Alpine guys out of your lineup.
Yeah. For the public league, in first place, Creamers. Second place, Pirelli's Pancakes. Third place, Danny's Boys. Fourth place, RB Racing Human Resources. Fifth place, OnlyFans Pant Agonia RT. Sixth place, Alex Algon. Seventh place, Mode Push Me to My Limits. Eighth, Best in Slot. Ninth, Scalderia for Chari. I feel like you like that one, Jeff.
Yeah, it's all right.
10th place, The Haas of Horrors. congrats on the points.
Congrats on the points, everybody. A lot of races left. Hang in there. Score some more points. And if you want to win, you got to be fast. And if you're going to be fast, you got to be quick. It's time for a quick cue. Today's
it's crazy cue, you remember yes. that, but none of the other things.
What other things do I not remember?
The intro, the outro.
I think I did the intro pretty good today.
You did, but thank sometimes you forget the order of the words.
Yeah, but sometimes it's intentional, and then when I do it intentional, it makes me forget how to do it right. But I also am a believer philosophically for this podcast that it is both a casual podcast for F1 fans and an F1 podcast for casual fans.
And ultimately, that's why we uploaded a version of the audio with 30 minutes of Jeff's vacuuming in the background.
Sort of a vacuum seal.
He talks kind of over it as if it's not happening, which tricked Marika and I.
Sort of a dissociative episode for that entire episode for my ass.
And ultimately, I did spend hours fixing his audio.
Why didn't you use the Zoom audio?
I didn't have it, and I wanted to learn editing.
Marika's been doing great audio editing on this show. That's been very helpful to me, and I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, it's fun to do, I guess. It's fun for me to learn so that I can fix my illegal recordings of Broadway shows that I take.
Yes.
That's good.
It's ultimately why Marika got into this job in the first place.
Yeah, so that I could fix my little recordings.
I would edit
recordings.
Today's quick cue is from Christian. A quick cue from a super casual fan. What's your understanding of the 2026 regulation changes? Does anyone have a chance of challenging Max/Red Bull until then? How about Lewis and a Ferrari in 2025?
That's a great question.
Great question. And I don't have... I don't have an answer.
In the world. You light a cigar.
And I don't care to answer it.
I found a list of the 2026 engine regulations.
Are you going to list them off, and is it going to make sense to any of us?
Sure. The words are normal words.
But what order are they in? Are they in an order that'll make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Like, if I said fuel change, you generally get what that means.
They're changing the fuel?
What?
Yeah. one of the most widely discussed elements, this is from The Athletic, is the drop in 100% sustainable fuels that will be introduced and used, which means no new fossil fuel carbon will be released.
Cool. That's no huge. No new fuels.
Nice.
Fuck you guys.
I don't know what song that was.
Me neither.
Okay, sorry. People under 25 will love that.
Was it the one that's like, welcome to my house?
No. It's the one that's like, no new friends, no new friends, no, no new.
Yeah, I don't know it.
By Aubrey.
More electric.
Into the living room. I said that, and then she turned around and rubbed her temples.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. More electrical power. Cars should run with a more robust electrical element and harvest more braking energy.
Slash brains.
Harvest brains. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Less fuel, more horsepower. F1 expects engines will provide over 1,000 horsepower, even though they're using more energy and less fuel. And then increased innovation, decreased cost. This says, friendly reminder that F1 is in its cost cap era. There will be an engine-specific cost cap, which is expected to encourage creative solutions. And that's kind of it. I think my understanding of regulation changes is that
does this happen regularly? Like every like 5 years or so, they just like change it. And is it, do they do this to like, so like in a hopes even to like wipe the slate clean, put everyone back on a, we all have to start from the same spot sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it's like partially that. What partially
if just like, no.
I think it's partially that, partially like, you know, getting the stuff with like the fuel change, like making the sport better,
more sustainable.
Like this year or this past one was like better racing, closer racing sort of stuff. Was like one of the big upgrades. So I think it's,
you know,
improve the sport, level the playing field.
What I learned from watching Le Mans last year and listening to so much commentary is I learned how much of changes that they make to race cars and racing and things they do with the tires and the fuel and all that stuff is like research and development for the cars that we drive. Like it all comes from that. So it's all very like, in a hope to make racing better, but in turn will then make our just like commutes also more sustainable, which I think is like really fascinating about all of this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like in terms of, especially like with the sustainability stuff, I think the fact that F1 and other sports are able to use like these other fuel types is probably like, and if a lot of the testing that will allow us to be able to do that.
Right. It's all about putting these things in the most extreme conditions. And then, you know, in a couple of years, it'll be in your car, in your Prius, that I'll be stuck behind on the five. And I'll be like, are you merging or not? Are you like,
yeah,
your blinker has been on for a mile. And my exit is coming up, and I don't know if I need to get around you or follow you into the next lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was at Le Mans, I remember one of the like little booths that they had was for Michelin tires. The Michelin Man, a big staple around Le Mans. You see them all over the place. But they had a like 3D printed tire, which was like a new innovation that was
like the basketball.
Yeah, basically. Wow. Like the exact same thing. It was, wow, you could like poke it. It was weird. So
that's wild.
Maybe we'll see those soon.
That's crazy. And the second half of this question, does anyone have a chance of challenging Max and Red Bull until then? I don't think so. It really feels like all the teams are like, this is what it's going to be like until 2026. Lewis joining Ferrari in 2025 is like about him getting accustomed to the team and the car, so then when they race in 2026, they want a shot at the championship. And that's really honestly been bugging me a lot at the start of this season and the end of last season. How much of this sport is like, the nerds have too much power here, you know? The fucking scientists and the engineers are controlling everything too much. Tire management, fucking engine management. It's not about driving as fast as you can every second of the race anymore. And that sucks.
Holy shit, I've never seen Casey like this. I don't think it's
ever really been about that.
No, it was back when Ford versus Ferrari. Back when Ford versus Ferrari, Marika.
Okay. I've been listening to Adrian Newey's book, How to Build a Car, which is half a autobiography and half just weird technical specs about the cars he's built, which is kind of fun. It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to hear about the research and development process and like when teams just decide to scrap everything and like start really focusing on the regulation changes. And I think he said that like the regulation changes are the most exciting part for any of the like main engineers or designers, because sure, you get to start all over again and you're not like trying to just keep working on something that maybe isn't functioning well.
You're not playing catch up.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I really hope that somebody does make a better car than Red Bull, because this has been excruciating.
It seems like I think Ferrari is really hoping 2026 to be a year where they're fighting for a championship.
Yeah,
it seems, and I would guess Mercedes is also like that, but I would also guess to a way lesser extent if Lewis was like, I have to get out of here, put me in the Ferrari. To me, Lewis going to Ferrari is a decision more about 2026 and him looking to get a championship. So that's all very exciting to me. It just sucks that we have to watch Max win, I think, 30-ish. No, he's going to win 60 races, I think, by then.
Yeah, probably close to, if we're counting sprints.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Who knows? Lewis in a Ferrari could be great.
Yeah.
Could do a lot of good stuff.
I still hold it to be that he's the best driver. If he was in a Red Bull and Max was in a Red Bull, Lewis would be beating
him. He went from 18th to 9th in this race in an absolutely shitty, possibly broken car, according to him.
Yeah.
So,
which was his choice. He wanted it. He said, I want the opposite of what George has. Give me the worst.
When they were explaining that, I don't think they said that he wanted it. I was trying to figure out if that was the vibe. I think they just chose directions, but I don't know for sure.
And they chose, well, let's give the good packet. Let's give the one that we think is going to be good to the guy who's staying on the team, and let's give the one that's going to be bad to the guy who's fucking leaving.
Yeah, Hamilton, not Lewis. We did it.
Hey, follow us on Instagram at PitWallPod and TikTok. Send us a quick cue. Slide into the DMs on Instagram. Send us a question. It's fun. We like to talk about it. Rate us 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. It's the only way that we become the number one Apple podcast in the world. Yeah, exactly.
I think we need to change our podcast art. I've been thinking about this.
I agree. Absolutely need to.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out. Yeah.
I just like something so simple that people click on it because they're like, oh, this must be a really good, well, yeah. well thought out, well produced podcast for not casual fans are going to teach me a lot of stuff, and then we trick them.
Yeah.
The old bait and switch.
I had an idea when we were originally coming up with the artwork that we're all like in not Mario Karts, but like little tiny F1 cars, but we're like all sitting in them the way that the characters sit in the Mario Karts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. That's so complicated.
It's so complicated, but if there's a listener out there who maybe wants to make a bid for the show art and wants to put me, Marika, and Jeff.
Yeah, no more Pyle, no more Jake until they fucking get
till they haven't met their
episode
together.
Quotas yeah. because they're busy raising children.
Whatever.
Couldn't be me.
I have a fucking cat.
I have a car.
I have myself to deal with, and that's enough.
And I have you're a like major three award. Of Casey in terms of maintenance. That came out so rude.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I don't even know what that
meant. Casey has an award. I don't either.
That's the end of the episode. The next race, Miami.
Miami.
But that's not the next episode. We're doing the final two episodes of Drive to Survive next week. And until then, vroom vroom to all and all a beep beep. We'll see you next week.
Namaste.
That was a HeadGum Original.